Now, here's a call from an old friend in Carrollton, Texas. Pastors, a new non-denominational church there. How nice to hear from you. Well, the Ebionites go to the east. En route, I passed the Episcopi seat. Ebionites. That's what the world would still like Christianity to be. It was the name first applied to Christians. You know why? It comes from the Hebrew word Ebion or Ebionim. You know what that means? Poor. The Christians at Jerusalem became synonymous with poverty. What an auspicious beginning. And all Christians were first called out there. Then Jewish Christians received the distinction. Now you understand why when James said, okay, you go to the Gentiles and Peter can stay with the Jews, but remember the poor. See what a little learning does to explain some scriptures? The word had become synonymous with the Christians in Jerusalem. Don't you know the Jew took care of their poor? They had long established systems for that. The Christians were synonymous with poor. Because the Jewish Christian church did not practice faith. They practiced law. How's that for beginning on this sect? Now, they became known as heretics early enough in the Christian church. Why should we let the world make a heretic out of us? I threw that in. You don't look interesting enough to me. Or interested enough. You look interesting enough. You don't look interested enough. I mean, you're very interesting. There are varying degrees of... It's interesting to watch the way some of you fight it. One eye closes first. Get back on the telephone and wake these people up in here. You're awake out there. Wake them up in here. I've never understood the meaning of canonization. Would you define it for me? Well, yeah. Later. I mean, you know, we're going to do so many things at once. You realize that, don't you? Maybe I can work that in tomorrow night. It does dawn on me, I am assuming, that you know what canon means. Give me that. It's that book right there, the Apocrypha. It's not what they stick out of portholes of ships. The Apocrypha by Edgar J. Goodspeed. You can buy this in just about any Christian bookstore. One of the few good things you can get in it. Goodspeed. Looks like that somebody needs to buy me a new one. And here's the list of them. The first book of Esdras. Esdras, because it was apocryphal and not included ultimately in the revised King James by the Bible societies, leaving them out. We have Ezra in the Old Testament. As we have Jesus in the New Testament, the Greek for Joshua. And in the book of Hebrews, it speaks if Jesus could have let them in, then there wouldn't have been the promise later. And you think, well, didn't Jesus lead them in? It wasn't talking about Jesus the Christ. It was talking about Joshua. In a Greek use of the name. Context makes it clear they're talking about Joshua, not Jesus the Christ. Jesus is the Greek word for Joshua. Esdras is the Greek for Ezra. First book of Esdras, second book of Esdras, book of Tobit. That's an interesting one. Book of Judith, the additions to the book of Esther, the wisdom of Solomon, Ecclesiasticus, or the wisdom of Sirach, the book of Baruch, the story of Susanna, the song of the three children, the story of Bel and the dragon, the prayer of Manasseh, the first book of Maccabees, and the second book of Maccabees. Those last two, probably the most valuable history available between the closing of the Old Testament and the opening of the New, and you will never understand the origin of the Pharisees and the frame of reference that Jesus stepped into in the Jewish frame of things if you don't know 1st and 2nd Maccabees. You'll also find out there that the Greeks in Thrace were descendants of Abraham, recognized by the high priest as relatives. Now, that's another subject. And that's where you'll find the origin of Hanukkah and the Maccabean rebellion that's recorded in that record of 1st and 2nd Maccabees. That's your Apocrypha. Ebionites. The name applied first to Christians in general, then to Jewish Christians, and finally to heretical Jewish Christians. To Jewish Christians, this name was given because they were generally poor. And as I've said, it comes from the Hebrew word meaning poor. And this poverty, especially characteristic of the Christians of Jerusalem, evoked from the pagan world for the whole sect the contemptuous appellation, the poor. Now, there are people that pride themselves in the contemptuous appellation given to early revival movements. It happened to begin, by the way, in the Methodist revivals of Peter Cartwright, but subsequently was applied to the Pentecostals, holy rollers. Well, I know some people that pride themselves in being called holy rollers. And if they were settling a controversy and saying, okay, we're going to let you exist, coexist with us, but this preacher can go to them and Peter stays with us, but you, Paul, going to them, remember the holy rollers. James prided himself in the designation. When he says, only remember the poor, he isn't talking about poor in general. He means the Jewish church in Jerusalem. Subsequently, its application was limited to Jewish Christians. The authority for that is Origen, Contra Celsum, Volume 2, 1. When a portion of the Jewish church became separate and heretical, the designation marked this division exclusively. Ebionites came to mean only those no longer able to worship as Jews in the synagogues because of the breach that continued to widen. And then the Jewish church was outlawed first before the Christian church, because, so there became, or there came into the scene, a motivation to be separate from the Jews until the Christians themselves then became the target in Nero and Caligula's day. So they, no longer being able to worship with the Jews but still holding to their position that they were the completed or fulfilled Jews and must keep the law, the word Ebionites came to be applied only to those splinter groups who would no longer worship with Gentile Christians, the hardliners taking James' position but not willing to make James' compromise, uncompromisingly practicing exclusively Jewish Christianity. In the 4th century, now we're way down, they still exist. In the 4th century, Epiphanius, Jerome, and Theodoret used it of a separate party within the Jewish church distinct from the Nazarenes. When you make your case on law, you continue to split. Church splits weren't new when the Pentecostals came to town. The Jewish Christians split, and the Ebionite name early applied to the Christians, then to the Jewish Christians at Jerusalem, then to Jewish Christians who separated from the Gentile, then to a sect within the Jewish Christians who had separated from the Gentiles by the time the 4th century came to distinguish them from the Nazarenes, another Jewish Christian group. They just go in every direction. And there's no authority to determine who's right. Now, if the authority is the letter from James, you end it there. If Paul just kept his mouth shut. But he never accepted that compromise, and the Galatian letter makes it clear. If they preach any other gospel than the one I've preached, let him be accursed. And now you understand why he says, if an angel preach it. You got to get somebody bigger than James in Jerusalem. If an angel preach it, don't give me that letter from James. If an angel preach it, let him be accursed. Now you know why he draws, okay, you that are going to lay the law on us, let me tell you about the law. Remember, in the law there were two covenants. One of flesh, one of spirit. And the one of flesh, Hagar and Ishmael, the one of spirit and freedom, Sarah and Isaac. And there's a Jerusalem that's above, the mother of us all, and there's a Jerusalem down here claims to be the mother. And they cannot coexist. That's exactly what he's saying to the Galatians. He has thought it through and has already experienced the reality. You make the compromise you made at Antioch, the earthly Jerusalem, Hagar and Ishmael, the mother of fleshly religion, will persecute the child of the free. The mother and the child of the bondwoman are going to persecute the free. You can't coexist. Tear up the letter from James, is implied. Throw the mothers out. Now you understand Galatians a little better when you put it in the historic frame? Let me continue. Why? Why should I keep going on these Ebionites? And we're already up to 4th century. I've taken them far enough right now. You know what they are. All I'll do is just give you some more. I can finish it later. I want you to talk to me now. I'm getting real picayune toward the end here. Do you understand Galatians a little better? Yes, sir. I wonder where old Jared Fat would fit.